Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I thank God for the mighty move of God. If you love God, and if you love His people, and if you love what's right, you can actually sense what God is doing. You can sense it. It becomes more and more obvious the more we walk in the love of God. His love becomes obvious. And the mighty move of God becomes obvious. Now, in any society, there are those who love God and there are those who wrestle with the love of the world. And then there are those who love the world outright. And you can almost gauge, you can gauge the way people, the way people are persuaded by the way they vote, the kind of candidates they vote for. That's a marker to help you understand what's going on. And our country now, people are divided. Some love God traditionally and some want to do new things. And the enemy, you know, the gray area is about gone. Either people love God or they hate Him. Either they want to know Him or they want to get away from Him. And that's the way, you know, the Lord wants, he would rather for people to be hot or cold. Ultimately, He wants everybody to know and love Him and choose what's right. But more than that, He wants sincerity. You know, when I wanted to get married years and years ago, when I was single, when I first wanted to get married, I wanted a marriage that would last. And there were many girls that I considered, but I couldn't see our characters working together. So I was particular in my choice, and I tried to be anyway. Because people have to have certain elements. When you get married, you have to want to be married. You have to be sincere about it. And if you have any reserves and questions, it's going to cause problems. We need to be sincere about whatever we do. If it's going to work right. You can't be half-hearted. You can't guess. You got to know within yourself where you stand and what you're willing to do for this marriage. So it is with the kingdom of God. When I knew that God was good. My dad was a pastor, a preacher. My mother was a preacher's wife. And she went to church every chance she got. And my dad had pastored three churches because there was a shortage of Methodist pastors in those days. And he pastored out of town. Now, he had to drive an hour away to Utah, Alabama every weekend. And they put him up in a parsonage there. And he spent the weekend in Utah, and he'd drive back. He preached one church one Sunday and two churches the next Sunday. And then on the fifth Sunday, they just didn't have church. Because once or twice a year, or once every other year, we'd have a fifth Sunday, and we didn't have to go. And it felt weird not going to church, and Mama wanted to go to church. So we was at home, she'd go to a church in Birmingham. And my parents loved to go to church. It's important that we are dedicated to the things of God. Because the world is looking. And we don't need to act right, we need to be right with God. And we need to do it from the heart. Now, just like when I wanted to get married, I wanted to make sure I would be sincere. And then I wanted to make sure the lady I married was sincere as well. Now, I learned a lot over the years. I learned things, you know, I can better judge now than I could then. And I'm going to tell you, if you're young, listen to the older people that love you. They can see more than you do. And they can, you know, they understand. There are some things I should have paid more attention to. But when you're older, you learn better. And you learn things the hard way sometimes. But everything I learn, I keep it. Because you can use it in life. Now, I knew what God expected. I knew what the word said. And I didn't want to betray him. And I thought, I didn't know where I stood when I was 18 years old. And I finally got to a point that I wanted to do right before God. And I wanted to want to do right. I didn't want to live struggling whether I'm going to do right or wrong. And that was a big issue with me. I wanted to be a Christian, but I didn't want to fail God. I didn't want to get saved and then go back to the weary world. And I wanted to know that Thurston Hambick could do this. And I didn't think I could. And I was right. I couldn't. You see, in those days, I didn't know what was going to happen to me. I didn't know that God would enable me to do it. I didn't know I was going to be changed. I was about to make a dedicated prayer, and that's all I thought it would be. And then I just have to act right for the rest of my life. And I'm not an actor. I can't act. I have to be true or false. Now, I can do all things through Christ. If I was doing a play, I could do that. But I can't live my life in an act. I can't make myself act right all the time. And then I found out that's not what the Lord was asking me to do. He was asking me to trust his righteousness, not mine. And that changed everything. When he saved me, I got a brand new heart. And from the inside out, I wanted to do right. I wanted to love God. And I was challenged in everything, in every way you could think about. I was challenged, just like Jesus was. And I had to actually learn how to win. And I didn't know how to win. So I had to pray. Now that was things. Now with a brand new heart, you're motivated. Now, but when I was a sinner, I was not motivated. I had the strength that I didn't have before. But my mind was still contrary. I had to renew. We all have to renew our mind. And then we have to dominate our flesh. Just like a man that rides a horse. He guides that horse where he wants it to go. Well, I had to do the same thing with my body. Your body has cravings that's ungodly sometimes. And your mind does too. But with the word of God, you can change all that. And then you have rest. Now, I didn't have the best teaching in the world because most people didn't know what I learned later. Now, they did the best they could with what they had, just like I was doing. But I never heard the things that I learned from the Holy Spirit. That's why I always say the Lord is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. That's not a cliche. That's the truth. And I say it fresh every time I say it. What I learned from the Holy Spirit and the scriptures helped me to govern my own life with strength, with rest, with joy. And I live in it enables you to live in victory. You receive concepts that makes the difference to you. Now, a sincere life before God, that's what I was after, but I didn't know how to attain it. But the scriptures taught, it guides you in how to do it. You live from the heart. The will is formed in the heart. And the heart, everybody's heart, has a desire to know God. Now, most people gravitate to whatever they think through deception will make them happy. But and people can get saved and then just give up and go back to the world. Because you have to restrict yourself from doing things that you know are wrong. And, you know, some people don't want to, they want to put their will first. But if you take time and learn, if you really want to do the right thing and you take time and learn how the word of God works, it's actually easier, and it's a better way of life. It's a beautiful way of life. But while you're trying to make up your mind and do right, the enemy is giving you false information, just like he does everybody on the planet. He try to turn you against the things that's going to cause you to live. He wants you to be an enemy to God. He wants you to seek pleasure. Now, pleasure is not God. It can't help you like God can. When you do anything in this life without the love of God, it becomes a dead work. Power is good. It's good when people walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, when they live a powerful life, a life of victory. When they see the sick, they lay hands on them and that person gets healed. The Holy Spirit gives them the wisdom to say the right thing at the right time to help people make the right judgment call. Now, you take away the element of love and all that stuff is meaningless. Why? Because without the love of God, there's no sincerity. Without faith in God, if you can't take God at his word and do right because it's right. Now, people that do that, they are sincere. Now, you take away sincerity. Now, why would they be motivated to serve God if they don't love him? If they want to use God to get something done, it's a difference. Power without love is dead. Now, let's say somebody do lay hands on the sick. They get healed and they speak the right words at the right time and they do well, but they don't love God. Now, what's the people going to do? They're going to look at them because they're doing something they don't normally see. And they'll adopt the same pattern. And without the love of God, you don't progress. Without the love of God, you don't, whatever you learn, it won't be in the right frame. But when you love God and you learn his truth, you appreciate it. You treasure it. Otherwise, it's just a platform to get something you're after. It's like a rich man getting richer and richer. Without God, his riches mean nothing. And some rich people commit suicide. Everything went that way, but they're not happy in life because their focus is off. Their eye is not on the Lord. See, when I say, Jesus said, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. You can't live with sin in your bosom. It's going to stifle your life. It's going to stifle your future. It's going to end up depressing you before it kills you. It's going to cause you to walk away in sorrow when you should be standing for what's right. You're not going to value what's right. You value what you desire. And there's a difference. And it'll affect your relationships. Some people marry the perfect person for them. And if they don't kill lust, lust will kill everything that they desire in this world. And then we have children. Now, children helps us to get our mind off ourselves and start serving them because they need us. And it's a blessing. Everybody need that check. They need something to put them in check, bring them back to reality. And when you're living, you see your children running around in a nice warm house. It's cold outside. It's nice and warm in your house. They have food. They have toys. They're happy. You're serving them. And it's a blessing to every parent that has the love of God in them. But the wicked, they look at the children as a threat against their desires. And they get upset because they have to stay at home with their children instead of running the road and doing what they want to do and playing the field or going to bars or whatever it is that they think is pleasurable. But when a man has godliness and contentment and peace, he has great joy. You know, and he has life. And you don't need props and crutches to have a good time. You having a party wherever you are. And I told somebody, I said, there's a party going on inside all the time. That's what I prayed for. I wanted to live in God's presence. I wanted to love what's right and hate what's wrong. And I wanted to do things that I love my fellowship with God. I value that more than everything. There's nothing on this planet that can compare to the dialogue between me and the Holy Spirit. Because he can use me to be a blessing to people. He helped me understand things and how it should be. Now, I'm a mechanic. I like to know how things work. So just like I learned how cars and trucks and heavy equipment works and how to make it last and how to put it together, I use the same techniques to learn who God is. And all the questions I have, I ask. And that's one of the biggest problems in the church, a lack of knowledge, because people don't ask God anything. Cold religion told them not to question God. If you don't ask God your questions, how in the world are you going to learn? Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. Knocking means that you're not giving up. You're going to ask till you get your answer. You're going to seek him and you're going to find out the hard questions. If you're going to learn something, you do it by faith. Now, there were times I didn't know what to do. And I knew that I didn't know what to do. And I just determined, I said, I'm going to learn this. And I actually felt joyous about it. I felt good about it. I knew that I was going to learn whatever it was I was after. I knew it. I didn't know how in the world I was going to learn. I didn't know what God was going to do. I didn't even care how he did it. But I knew for a fact that I was going to learn what I was after, to the point that I even rejoiced. I was happy about it. I said, I'm going to learn this. I'm going to master this. I felt good. I got up and went to work. The things that troubled me, I said, I'm going to learn this. And I got up and went on about my business. And I learned things too. And the big thing that I learned, it took years to put it all together, but the way I defeated things is through love. When it came to relationship problems, like people at work that have a hard time and get on your nerves and say things they shouldn't and lie to you and not promote you, I learned to love them. Now, wait a minute, preacher, that's backward. They're not doing you right, but you're loving them. I'm loving them. My faith is in God. God will promote me the way I should be promoted and perfectly. And that's precisely what happened. But in my mind, I thought I was going to be promoted on the job. The Pharisees thought Jesus was going to drive out the Romans. So did Judah. But he didn't do that. He died on the cross and saved everybody from within. And whoever would receive salvation could have it. So I didn't need that company. I didn't need to work at that dealership in those days. I didn't need the job I was after. I learned things about cars working there that I didn't pick up in school. And the Lord used that platform for me to learn things about electrical problems that I was weak in that area in those days. I could fix anything mechanical, but electrical things used to throw me for a loop. And I learned to master electrical things. I learned how the doors, the power windows worked. I could diagnose the whole system. And I learned glass and trim. I learned things that I didn't. So when I had my own shop, my own business, some days that's the only job I could get. Somebody's window wouldn't go up and down. Or they might have an electrical short and I had to find it. So I learned things serving others. I was trying to be a blessing to the company. The same people that didn't do right by me, I was trying to do right by them. And God honored me. I used to go to work every day praying for my own business, and the Lord, he blessed me to have my own business. I didn't think I was ready yet. But I used to study the Sermon on the Mount all the time. And that prepared me for business. I didn't go to business school, But I learned the things that Jesus, I learned the things Jesus taught. It got in my heart. So when I didn't know what to do, I would do the things that I learned from the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount and other scriptures. And I ended up doing what was best. I never had to advertise. People recommended me. And I would stay on the job till I finished it. I didn't stockpile. Whoever came first, that's whose car I worked on till I finished it. Then I went to the next job. A lot of things I did because of biblical principles. And it made me a better businessman. So when you if you hear God out and pay attention to him, you can learn to do the things you need to do. It makes a great and glorious difference. So the things that I was after that I didn't know, I wanted to know, I asked the Lord. He would always get an answer to me. And one thing was to love people. When I learned to master love, I learned I could kill all my problems. Now, lust, the way lust works, lust puts your desires before God. And you're using other people at your own expense for your own gain. That's not of God. But love helps you serve them. And then God will turn around and promote you. See, with the love of God, everything will be in its rightful place, in the order. And everything that that tempted me against the knowledge of God, I was able to walk in love toward the people. And if you love people, you're not going to lust after them. You can't. So whatever troubled me, I would love them. If they got upset with me, I would love them. I would speak kindly to them. A soft answer turns away wrath. And it helps people see God. Some people got saved because of this. And you know, and there were women who, I talked about that before, that they would try to tempt me. They would go, you know, that was a time I couldn't go anywhere without a woman flirting. And that was back in the days when Jimmy Swaggart fell and other ministers got in trouble. Jim Baker got in trouble. Found out later the government was behind his problems. They paid somebody to lie on him. Truth always comes out eventually. But nevertheless, the enemy had a strong campaign out to try to destroy my ministry. That's what and I realized that's what he was after. I said, these temptations are not normal. It never happened until I started drawing near to the Lord and when I became a minister. The Lord called me in 87 and the enemy put out a campaign to stop my progress. And I didn't know how to stop him. I didn't know how to undo what he was doing. I didn't know the things that I know that I did learn. All I knew, I loved God and I wanted to stand. And I asked the Lord to teach me how to kill this problem. Because I don't want to live acting. I'm going to do what's right because I love what's right. And so when time went on, I kept doing all the scriptures, but love was my focus. The love of God was my focus. I love the people who tried to tempt me and get me to go astray. I even prayed for them. And a guy named Terrence Gibbons said, if you're ever tempted with a woman, don't just pray for yourself, pray for her too. Don't just take authority for yourself, take authority over the enemy in her case as well. And it works. I did all that. But there was still something lingering and I didn't know what to do. I still felt tempted. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you got to teach me how to do this. I didn't know. And then everything happened the way it did. And then the Lord said, don't fear falling. And when he said that, everything just broke. I understood something that I couldn't put in words. And I looked at them differently. See, if you fear a lion, fear is a surrendering belief. Now you see him as your master, and he's going to kill you at his will. If you fear Satan, it's the same way. That puts you can't see yourself winning against him. If it's a game, you can't see yourself winning against this game. And then The game becomes bigger. You become smaller and God becomes smaller. But when you fear God, you don't fear them. So I didn't fear women. I didn't fear falling. I didn't fear their tricks. And I looked at them totally different, totally opposite. And I didn't feel tempted anymore. So every time you disconnect from Satan, every time you drive out fear, Satan has nothing to attach to. He needs you to fear in order for him to be your master. But if you don't fear him, or if you don't fear Satan or his props and crutches and his puppets, then there's nothing he can attach himself to your life anymore. If you fear that you're going to fail in business, that fear attaches him to your business. Same thing with your marriage. If you fear that your marriage is going to end and not get any better, he's attached to, that same fear attaches Satan to your marriage. So don't fear anything. Don't fear failing. Don't fear falling. Don't fear disaster. Don't fear bankruptcy. And now, because you love God, you can see him. And you can see his handiwork. You can see you're motivated to do the things that keep you committed. And while you're going through all these problems, the enemy tried to tempt you away from church so you can get even weaker. He gets you to have a problem with the network that God gave. Your local church is your network. You bless them, they bless you. You go to church loving God. You worship God in the presence of people. Sometimes there are people that can confide in you. And God will use you to say the right thing. He can use your attendance to bless people. He can use your commitment to inspire others. You know, just by going to church, you inspire the people that see your life, especially when you love God in the process. People need to see people who love them. People need to experience people who have no fear. They don't know the word of God. Some people, when people just get saved, they don't know everything. They need to see people doing the works of God to stay encouraged and to go to they learn how to go forward. And then they become necessary to be the pillars of the church. So if you follow the order of God, you're going to stay in sync and it's going to work and you're going to love it. It's always worth it. You're always making progress. As long as you stay in the love of God, as long as your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. All of your persuasions, your advice, everything. Now, on the other hand, the enemy is seduced. He's a seducer. He seduces people. There are doctrines of devils and seducing spirits that have caused Christians to go astray. And some people, because people didn't know not to listen to them, because they were lazy with the word of God and wouldn't study. But you have to read the word of God and you have to read life. You have to read what God is doing in your life. You have to pay attention to the Holy Spirit and include him in all your business. We want God to just come and take over. He don't do it that way. You got to invite him. You got to want his help. You got to value it. Well, in whatever you're doing, you got to value the treasure of God's word. Now, the enemy has set the world against God. And when they're doing wrong, they fear conviction. When a Christian walks in the room that love God and walk the line and do what's right, the light convicts them. The light shows them that the error of their way. And it does it in a loving way. It lets them know, hey, you're on the wrong path. And they feel uncomfortable. So, and many people are worn to the Lord because Christians come around. Remember, if there would have been 10 righteous men in Sodom and Gomorrah, God wouldn't have had to destroy it. They would have been convicted. See, men are not made by Satan. Men are corrupted by Satan. All men are made by God. And there's something in their heart that wants to know who God is. But they're going to have to take him at his word in order to get where they really want to be. And the devil knows this. But if he can clog their mind with deception and start a strife war, against the people of God, he can keep them divided. Now, everybody who get in sin, the first thing they do is try to get away from the people of God, because they're at war with the conviction of our lives. Jesus said, it said, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden under foot of men. You know, unsavory salt is still good for something. It's good for killing weeds, and that's it. It's for Roundup. He said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light to all that are in the house. Then he said, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So that's the kind of pure conviction that people need. They need it. We need it. We all do. Even Christians need to see other Christians walking in the light. The light of God's word convicts people, brings them back to it. They can see the deception of Satan for what it is. And Satan is afraid that they're going to see a better way of life. But man is hiding from God. And sin always caused men to hide and harden their heart against God. And even the most hardest heart, if they see the light enough, they can see the darkness that has seduced them for what it is. And if they want more, then God is able to help them. Satan is actually afraid that people who live in sin, homosexuals and fornicators and adulterers, they've chosen the way of sin. If they see the light, they may walk out of it. And that's what he's afraid of. So he tried to put a strife against Christians because they can feel the conviction.